A trip into the Baltic Sea. Learn and discover. Dear listeners, this audio experience offers an exciting trip to the Baltic Sea. You will get to know the marine environment from the beach right through to underwater habitats. You will be introduced to several animals and plants that live in the Baltic Sea. You will discover how beautiful and important the oceans are, and you will learn why plastic litter is a real problem. We hope that this audio experience will help you become familiar with our native sea life. Have fun on this exploration. Are you ready? Let's begin with a short introduction to the Baltic Sea and its history. What is the Baltic Sea? The Baltic Sea is located in Northern Europe and has 9 bordering countries. It is naturally connected to the North Sea through the Kattegat and the Skagerrak. In addition, there are 2 artificial waterways. The Kiel Canal connects the North Sea and the Baltic Sea and is an important shipping route. The White Sea-Baltic Canal connects the Baltic Sea and the White Sea. The Baltic Sea is relatively shallow with an average depth of 52 meters and a maximum depth of 460 meters. It spans about 412,000 square kilometers, an area that would fit into the Mediterranean Sea 6 times. How did the Baltic Sea form? The Baltic Sea is unique to our planet. It is very young and only formed at the end of the last ice age about 12,000 years ago. Back then, Northern Europe was covered by large glaciers. When the climate got warmer and the ice began to melt, the water collected in a large basin. Through a connection to the North Sea, salty seawater mixed with the fresh water from the ice, precipitation and rivers. This mixture of salty seawater and fresh water is called brackish water. Now that we've learnt a bit about the history of the Baltic Sea, let's start our expedition above and below water to learn a bit more about the marine environment and some of its plants and animals. Discover sand and stones. Along the Baltic Sea, there are not only long stretches of sandy beaches. Some parts of the coastline also consist of gravel and large stones. Many stones and pebbles that can be found on the beach were pushed onto our shorelines by the glaciers from Scandinavia. From place to place, this material, so-called glacial drift, can be very different in its history, origins, and mineral composition. Take a closer look at the beach. Grab a handful of sand and examine the grains. Some, for instance, contain iron impurities and therefore have a rusty red colour. Sand is made up of tiny stones and metal particles. It can be found everywhere on our planet. Because the composition of sand depends on where it comes from and what its components are, every grain of sand looks different. What else do you notice on the beach? The scents. It smells of the ocean and plants. Take a deep breath and inhale the scent of the plants. Which one do you think smells best? Can you hear that screeching? Those are the calls of seagulls. European herring gull. The European herring gull has a large yellow beak with a red spot. Its plumage is white, while the upper wings are light grey with black tips. Its legs are skin-coloured and its eyes are yellow with dark pupils. The herring gull feeds on fish, crabs, worms, mussels, snails and starfish, but also on litter from garbage dumps. It occasionally scavenges the nests of other seabirds for their eggs. Black-headed gull. The black-headed gull is the smallest of the Baltic Sea gull species. You will recognize it by its red legs and red beak. Its wings are light grey, while its chest and underside are white. During the summer breeding season, the feathers on its head have a chocolate brown colour. In winter, they turn white, with a dark spot behind each eye. Apart from worms, fish, crabs and insects, the black-headed gull also feeds on litter. Did you know that birds occasionally feed on plastic litter, which blocks their guts? As there is no longer room for their natural food, they starve or die from internal wounds. Now turn towards the water. Discover the different animals there. Which types of species live in the Baltic Sea? Common cockle. Many know the cockle from the North Sea. It is the most common clam species there, hence the name. However, you can also find cockles in the Western Baltic Sea. Cockles come in various different colorations, from white to yellowish brown to brown. They burrow up to a depth of 10 centimeters into the seabed. When you turn a closed cockle on its side, you will see why it's called a Herzmuschel, heart clam, in German. Baltic Tellin. This clam comes in various different colors, ranging from yellow to pink to black. Because it is frequently pink or rose-colored, it is also referred to as Rote Bohne, red bean in German. The Baltic Tellin lives in sandy sediments in depths of up to 6 centimeters. Blue or common mussel. The blue mussel does not burrow into the sand as many other bivalve species do. It attaches to hard substrates such as stones or shells using its so-called byssus threads. These are thin strands made of protein. By doing so, large mussel banks can form which provide a habitat for other sea creatures. An adult blue mussel filters up to 2 liters of water per hour in order to gather food. Therefore, they play a key role in cleaning seawater. Blue mussels are eaten by seagulls and starfish, but also by us humans. Common periwinkle. Marine snails have a spiral shell, while bivalves, as the name says, live inside the two valves of their shell. The common periwinkle does not live on the beach, but on top of rocks in shallow waters where it rasps off algae with its tongue, the so-called radula. In winter, it moves into deeper waters and burrows into the mud to hibernate. Lava spire shell or mud snail. Mud snails are tiny marine snails of up to 6 millimeters in length. They have an elongated shell. They too feed on microalgae that grow on the seabed and on plants. They are one of the smallest herbivores in our native marine environment. By feeding on biofouling algae, snails keep the macroalgae and seagrass healthy. Without light shading and competition for food, these plants can grow a lot better. Common or moon jellyfish. With its milky see-through umbrella and 4 circular structures in the middle, the common jellyfish easily reminds you of a full moon with its large craters, hence also the name moon jellyfish. However, the 4 structures aren't craters but gonads, which the animal uses to reproduce. By looking at them more closely, you could tell males apart from females. Males have white or orange gonads, while those of females are reddish-violet. The common jellyfish feeds on small crustaceans and fish larvae. Lion's mane jellyfish. In late summer, you can find lion's mane jellyfish from the North Sea as they drift into the Baltic Sea. Be careful though, their long tentacles are lined with stinging cells with which they capture their prey. Coming in contact with the tentacles can be very unpleasant for us humans and may cause severe skin irritation. Common starfish. The starfish is the most common species in the Baltic Sea. It lives everywhere, from shallow waters up to a depth of 200 meters, on sandy or hard substrates, in areas overgrown with plants or on mussel beds. The starfish usually has 5 arms. It doesn't have any eyes, but it can detect differences in light with sensory cells at the tips of its arms. It also has a pretty good sense of smell, which it uses to find prey and avoid predators. Starfish are specialized in preying on bivalves. Burrowing animals and carrion are also on their menu. Did you know that starfish can grow back their arms if they lose them? When a starfish loses an arm, the tip of a tiny new arm becomes visible after a while. It grows until the starfish is complete again. Common shore crab. The shore crab is the most common crab species and the most conspicuous of the larger crustaceans on the Baltic Sea coast. Its carapace can grow up to 8 centimeters in diameter. As a nocturnal animal, it preys on anything that gets in its way. Cracking bivalves and snails is an easy task for the shore crab. It lives in seagrass beds and in between stones and can quickly burrow into the sand if necessary. Did you know that crabs often use their pincer-like claws for defense? They point them at potential predators, which, unfortunately, is no use when attacked by birds such as the seagull. Brown shrimp. Anyone who's ever tried a shrimp roll for lunch will know the taste of cooked brown shrimp. They are very common on our coasts. The brown shrimp walks across the seabed or burrows into the sand. Because of its sand-coloured body, it is particularly well camouflaged. At night, the brown shrimp waits in its lair and preys on small crustaceans, worms, and juvenile fish. Birds, adult fish, young seals, and fishes in turn hunt and fish for shrimp. Harbour seal. Male harbour seals can grow up to 1 metre 90, while females are a bit smaller. They can reach up to 38 years of age. In June or July, they give birth to their pups on sandbanks. The harbour seal's favourite food are fish and crustaceans. It needs to eat about 5 kilograms of those per day. In the last century, it was easy to spot and observe harbour seals on German coastlines. But due to hunting and intense fishing, they were displaced in the Baltic Sea. Now, they are only found around the Danish islands and near the coast of southern Sweden. Bladder wrack. This type of seaweed belongs to the group of macroalgae. With its round holdfast, it attaches to hard substrate. It broadens and branches towards the top. The bladders, arranged in pairs on the blades, are filled with air and hold the fronds upright in the water column, making sure the algae receives enough sunlight. Seagrass. Seagrasses are the only flowering plants that live entirely underwater. They are not algae. With their long and thin leaves, they indeed much rather resemble grass on land. Seagrass meadows are the nursery grounds of the Baltic Sea. Many fish species spend their time as larvae in juvenile fish sheltered in between the seagrass shoots. Herring. The herring is one of the most important commercial fish species in the Baltic Sea. Its slender and narrow body can reach up to 30 centimeters in length. Its back has a dark gray to greenish color. Its sides are silver. It mostly feeds on small crustaceans and often lives in huge schools. European plaice. The plaice is a species of flatfish that lives on sandy seabeds. Juvenile plaice look very different to their parents. As larvae, they swim about in the open water and have a symmetrical body shape. Once they reach about 1 month of age, their transformation begins when they settle on the seabed. They lay down on one side and the eye on the lower side of the body moves onto the upper side. Plaice mostly feed on worms and bivalves. Pipefish. At first glance, the pipefish somewhat resembles seagrass. Its body is greenish in colour, extremely elongated and slender. The perfect camouflage. It lives among seagrass beds and holds onto the plants with its tail. At the end of its trumpet-shaped snout, there is a small mouth with which it sucks in small crustaceans and fish. three-spined stickleback. On its back, this little fish has three spines, which it can lift up. It generally has a dark grey coloration. Males, however, have a bright red throat and belly during the spawning season. Outside the spawning season, these fish form large schools. The stickleback can grow up to a length of 11 centimetres and may reach an age of up to 3 years. Those are some pretty awesome sea creatures, don't you think? Now that we've gotten to know the Baltic Sea a bit better, we also have to take a look at what's endangering this marine environment. So, let's talk environmental pollution. The Baltic Sea is drowning in litter. Plants and animals aren't the only things you will find when diving into the Baltic Sea. What you will also notice more and more is man-made litter, so-called marine debris, lying on the seafloor, floating in the water column, and drifting at the sea surface. Go for a walk along the beach after a storm and you will see how we mistreat our oceans as giant garbage bins. But how does litter end up in our oceans in the first place? You may not expect it, but only 20% of all marine debris ends up in the oceans out at sea. The remaining 80% enters our oceans from land. At sea, marine debris often comes from shipping activities. Lost or intentionally discarded fishing nets, so-called ghost nets, float about as deadly traps. They are made of long-lived plastic material and pose a threat to all sea creatures. Marine mammals, such as harbour seals, get caught in the mesh and drown. And even if the animals aren't killed inside the nets, they may be severely injured or mutilated. Big cargo ships and cruise liners also, illegally, dump their litter at sea because the waste disposal in port costs money. Litter that has been recklessly discarded on land is carried into our rivers by the wind or rain and eventually reaches the sea. The biggest issue in the water and on shorelines are plastics. The problems already start with the fact that plastics don't biodegrade. They simply disintegrate into smaller and smaller pieces. The smaller the particle, the greater the danger. When UV radiation, waves, and other environmental influences result in plastic pieces breaking apart further and further, even small organisms can confuse these particles with food. Animals eating plastics poses another threat. Plastics contain numerous toxic chemicals, such as softeners, that are released. Additionally, plastics act like magnets and attract environmental toxins such as pesticides. Once ingested, these toxins can accumulate inside the animal. When a species of food fish contains plastics because its prey ate plastic particles, the toxins inside end up on our plates and in our own bodies. Microplastics, the term used for the smallest plastic particles, are not only the result of larger plastic pieces disintegrating. In many cases, they already exist and make their way into the sea through our wastewater. Lots of products contain microplastics, although you would never expect them to, be that shower gels, shampoos, or cosmetic products. Even clothes are a source of plastic particles that enter our wastewater. During a washing cycle, each piece of clothing loses synthetic fibres. They enter the wastewater stream and make their way to the next wastewater treatment plant, where not all of them can be filtered out of the water. Those fibres that aren't eventually end up in our oceans. Walking along any of the Baltic Sea beaches and seeing marine debris everywhere is bound to make you feel bad. No wonder, considering that about 20,000 tons of litter enter the Baltic Sea each year. If you no longer want to turn a blind eye and wish to do something about this issue, you can start by participating in beach cleaning activities. Once a year, there is a major cleanup event during which tons of trash are removed from beaches and coastlines worldwide. This so-called Coastal Cleanup Day always takes place on the third weekend of September. Furthermore, you can aim to use less plastic in your everyday life and by that reduce the amount of plastic litter you produce. Here are 5 easy steps. 1. Rethink. Think about which alternative materials you could use instead of plastic. Ask yourself in general which items you really need. 2. Reduce. Use less plastic. Bring your own bags when shopping for groceries, for instance, plastic-free produce bags. Or try out zero-waste shops where you will find many products without any plastic packaging. 3. Reuse. We live in a throwaway society. Many things are disposed of, although they can still be used. It doesn't have to be that way. Simply buy reusable items such as lunch boxes, glass or metal bottles, or cloth bags instead of purchasing everything in plastic. 4. Recycle. Anything that needs to be thrown away because it can no longer be used should be disposed of appropriately. This makes it easier to recycle the materials. 5. Repair. When something is broken, it should be repaired, if possible, instead of being thrown away. This is an audio recording of the information booklet Tour in die Ostsee, a trip into the Baltic Sea, published by the Bund für Umwelt und Naturschutz Deutschland, short BUND, as part of the project Biomare. Text written by Reis Ayub Aga, Bente Jakobsen and Svenja Beilfuß. Translated into the English language and read by Dr. Rosanna Schneich-Argent. Produced by Katharina Görike. The BUND Schleswig-Holstein would also like to give thanks to the sponsors of this project, the Deutsche Postcode Lottery and the Lighthouse Foundation.